Anyways, let's go into the one. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening, morning, that the truth of your word is taught with clarity and precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. 10:40, Luke 24. Luke 24. Hallelujah. Luke 24. What are we looking at? The love of God. Now, we did a series a couple weeks ago. Is that correct? And the series was around, let me also say this. I hope you know when you take notes, it is not for you to look like you are serious. It is for you to go back home and go and what? Read. I want to get that. Not that you come to God's school and everybody carry notes. You carry big notes. You carry your big note, you carry your marker. Two of you will come with three pen and three color. You'll be enlightened, enlightened. Once we finish just like this, I will share the grace. You close it again. Till next week. Have it together, right? It's for you to go back to it. Luke 24, right? And Jesus came and said unto them, that's Matthew, and certain of them which were with us at the sepulchre, verse 24, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said, O fools, and what? Slow of heart to believe. Can I have the other microphone, please? Slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken, right? Is that correct? Thank you. Is this the green one? Where's the lead one? Thank you. Hallelujah. I muted it here. Hallelujah. So can you just turn this off? I think it's the battery. All right. So he said unto them, O fools, and what? Slow of heart to believe all the prophets have what? Spoken. Ought not what? Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter into his glory. What do you now say in the next verse? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he what? He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what did Jesus do upon the resurrection? He went back to the scriptures to explain himself from the scriptures. So it means that as believers, when we pay attention to the scriptures, we ought to allow that derive or make us derive conclusions. Let me tell you. Jesus, upon the resurrection, what was the easiest thing for him to show as evidence that he's alive? Where they flogged him. The scars on his body, is that correct? The easiest thing was, this is where they flogged me. Can't you believe they flogged me? But the Bible says that he called them fools because they were slow of heart to believe the things the prophet had spoken. He now says, ought not Christ to have suffered this thing? So it means that Christ was to suffer certain things, or Christ was to suffer. Are we together? So was suffering part of the journey of Christ? Are we together? Suffering was part of the journey of Christ. And what after suffering? It says, and to enter into his glory. So what did he do? Bible says, and beginning at Moses. Now when Bible says beginning at Moses, it's saying beginning from the writings of Moses and the prophets. He expounded with them. So Jesus could not quote the book of Romans. Is that correct? Jesus could not quote the book of Galatians. There was no time in Jesus' ministry where he said, open your Bible to the book of Galatians. Are we together? Right? Even the book of Matthew, even the book of Luke. He taught strictly from the writings of Moses, Genesis, to Malachi. So it means as believers, if we were to get to a conclusion around any subject matter, within Genesis to Malachi lies the sufficient material for us. Are we together? Within Genesis to Malachi lies the sufficient material for us. So it means, I'm saying to you, Jesus grew spiritually. Is that correct? What was his Bible? Genesis to Malachi. Paul grew spiritually. Was that correct? What was his Bible? Genesis to Malachi. What did Peter read as his Bible? Genesis to Malachi. So spiritual growth doesn't lie just in Matthew to Revelation. They didn't have Matthew to Revelation, yet they grew spiritually. So the question now becomes, what are you reading in Genesis to Malachi? It's a big question. Because it's from Genesis to Malachi you can undo and do. You know what they call gymnastics? You can do, you know, you can use Genesis to Malachi to preach anything. Marry three wives, marry four wives. Yeah, genocide. What again? Slavery. Yeah. Prank with the prostitute, okay? That one is unique. Yeah, which one again? Justify killing. Prophet marrying prostitute, okay? So many things, yeah? Man sleeping with house girl. It's not your Bible? Abraham, right? Yeah? What again? God's unforgiveness. God is a God of unforgiveness. God doesn't forgive. God of vengeance. Painless delivery. That's a very good one. Painless delivery. Adultery. God of fire. God of Elijah. I was together. God of Elijah. Hallelujah. If you are not careful, you'll get to conclusions you shouldn't get to in scriptures. Now, John 3:16, let's start from there. It says, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you are to get to that conclusion, where will you get to that conclusion from? Genesis to Malachi. So it means that Genesis to Malachi teaches that God is loving. Are we here? Look at 1 John. We looked at Acts 26 on Wednesday. Look at 1 John today. Are you in 1 John? God, which is verse 3. 1 John chapter 3, rather. Now look at verse 11. 1 John 3, verse 11. It says, for this is the message that he heard from the where?
Beginning.
From the where?
Beginning.
The beginning. The beginning. This is the message that you heard from the beginning. That we should what? Love one another. So when Paul, okay. I'm beginning at Moses. You see, the word beginning in Bible language can be used as a summative word to talk about the writings of Moses. I would get, right? So if I say, take your Bible, open your Bible to the beginning, you'll go back to Genesis. I would get, right? Luke 24, Bible says, I'm beginning at Moses. So can we say, another word you can use for beginning is Moses. I would get, because Moses is the thing. So when Bible says in Luke 24, 24, it says, the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, right, are the words which I'm speaking to you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. What's law of Moses? Law of Moses is what? The beginning. Can we say the writings of Moses? Is law of Moses 10 commandments? We've taught that over time. You know, believers say, what is law of Moses? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not eat, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not whatever it is. The Greek word for the word there, law, we said the word there is nomos, N-O-M-S. And it's a word that just means writing or doctrine or teaching. That's why John chapter 1, we will say, and the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus. The word there, but, is in italics, so it's not there. We've taught this over time, right? So the law of Moses, actually, rather than call it 10 commandments, because the law does not mean 10 commandments, hallelujah, right? The law of Moses can better be seen as the what? Writings of Moses. Can we say the doctrines of Moses? Yeah? So what is another name for the doctrine of Moses? Stay with the one that is called the law. No, the law. Let's start with the law. What is another name for the doctrines of Moses? The law of Moses. Another name for the law of Moses? Writings of Moses. Another name for writings of Moses? Teachings of Moses. Another name for teachings of Moses? People, move forward. After doctrine of Moses, the beginning, I was together. Can we just call Moses? Yeah? Because Moses represents his books. I was together, right? So when the Bible says, and you've known, look at verse 11, 1 John 3, verse 11. This is the message that he heard from the beginning. Is that from Moses? What has been the message from the beginning? That we should what? Love one another. So is the message from beginning love? Let me show you another message from beginning. Look at 1 John 1. 1 John 1. Look at verse 3. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that what? Ye also may have fellowship with us, And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Look at verse 5. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Then this is the message which you heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Oh, hold on. Go back to verse 1. That which was from the beginning. Go back to verse 5. This then is the message. So what is the message from the beginning? God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So if you get to Genesis, what should be your conclusion? God is light, there is no darkness. Based on 1 John 3, what should be your conclusion in Genesis? God is love. Are we together? Right? So God is love has been the message from what? Beginning. Go back to 1 John 3. I want to show you something now. We saw this on Wednesday, but look at it again. 1 John 3. Look at verse 11 again. For this is the message that he heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Let's now read verse 12 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Not as Cain. Are you in your Bibles? Not as what? Cain. 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. And so did Cain kill his brother? Was it written in the Bible? What is the message from the beginning of the Bible? Love. Who is Cain an example of? An example of one who doesn't love. So the Bible says Cain is of the wicked one. Why did he call him of the wicked one? Because he killed another. Let me tell you, listen to me carefully. So it means that in your conclusion about God, there is no killing as his characteristics. Because if God kills, we should as well say Cain is like God. But the Bible makes it clear that Cain is of the wicked one. So the Bible is saying, don't be like Cain. Because Cain is not an example of God. Are you here? Are we here? If you understand these fundamental things we are teaching, it will help you settle all the questions you have in your mind. Yeah? When I was growing up, I was born into a denomination, right? Which you all know. One of the prayer points we usually pray, right, had a lot to do with killing people. Every man fighting me and my destiny. What are you living for? You people are fast. That is too fast. You have to first somersault, catch fire, fall down, then die. So you first somersault, your eye is seeing double. Fire now enter your body. You are catching fire. You now eventually fall down and die. And you reach that kind of prayer point, and you now get a phone call from your hometown. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You just need to look at the fire and say, oh, Jesus. Jesus, you love me too much. You know, the question is, imagine God answered those prayers. None of us might not be here today. Are we together? Yeah? If God were to be answering those prayer points, we won't be here today. Because I'm very certain you've offended some people that took you up in the place of prayer. She's confirming, say, of a truth. Of a truth. Yeah? There are people that are taking you up. This is your matter. They will, in fact, some people are taking your pictures to mountain. You know it happens. Some of you, your picture is locked up in the middle of two rock. A cracked rock. They just slit it inside. And they say, as long as prayer is going on this mountain, so shall you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Imagine God answered those prayers. Nobody will be alive today. Are you with me? The question now becomes, what exactly is love? And what is the fullness of love? I was saying on Wednesday, someone brought an argument to me a couple years ago. It was a friend. And I was trying to say that, think about a president of a nation who has all the weaponry in their garage, and another nation is coming to fight them. Will the president not ask the soldiers to go and destroy, or to go and carry all the weapons and destroy the enemies who are coming to attack his people? Yeah, imagine this is a country, right? And you are the president of the country, right? Then you have, out of these people here, you have 5 soldiers. And you are seeing some people come to attack your people. What you should do ideally is give an instruction. 5 of you go to the armory tank, is that correct? And go and pick all the weapons you need and go and combat those people. Is that not correct? So the person was trying to argue that if I was a president, will I not ask my people to do that? Right? What he was trying to heard at was that that is the way God is. God looks at his people and he shields them. And not just shields them, he what? He defends them and destroys the people who are trying to attack them. Amen? Right? He destroys the people who are coming to attack them. But think about it. That's a very loose-ended argument. Because if it is God's will that all men are saved and come to the knowledge of his truth, at what point does he expect those people who are coming to attack to hear the message of the gospel and preach and get saved? So you see, the argument doesn't hold water. Because the fact is that for everyone who is in the camp of the enemy, God wants them to be saved. You know, we've said it over time. There's nobody who is beyond the reach of God's love. God wants the people in the camp of the enemy to be saved. So now, is it the president's responsibility to defend his people? Yes. But you cannot use the logic of human governance to look at the logic of God. Are you with me? I always ask a question. Have you ever heard of any of the camp of people who terrorize people? All of a sudden, you just heard that both the leader and all the men just fell down and died. And the church came out and opened the microphone and said, it is our prayer that God is answering. Do you know that if that those kind of prayers are usually answered, are we here? Some of us are sleeping. Say amen. If you are sleeping, say amen. So I did not see when. Right? You know, what was I saying? You were sleeping. You were sleeping. You see? You were sleeping. You were sleeping. You were sleeping. You want to prove you are not sleeping. Yeah, you want to prove you are not sleeping. What are you talking about? Yes, I've ever seen a camp of people. Do you know that if those prayers have been answered time memorial, you need some of these people that fight people that are people that are, I don't want to use careless words, people that fight people now, people that terrorize people now, more often than not, those concepts were passed from generation to generation. So I'm saying if you trace it, there was a route that somebody handed over to them. If those prayers were answered, we should not have terrorism in this world today. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You know, why am I talking about it this way? Because one of the questions we asked in that question and answer session last week, are we supposed to pray for people that persecute the church? This is the answer. Who was Stephen? Stephen was one who was stoned to death. Are we together? What happened to Stephen? As he was being stoned, what happened? He kept preaching the gospel. You know, the man who was supervising the stoning of Stephen was the man that stood beside where, that, you know, like that hanger of coats that was helping people collect, bring a coat, so you have more hand to stone. And the man stood and collected all the coats of the people. And what happened? And watched and supervised until Stephen gave up his ghost. That same man is the one that wrote more than half of your epistles today. Let me tell you, if you want to follow God, you must make up your mind that some things will not make sense to you. And that's why it is faith. It will make sense to you. That's where you have the doctrine of this atheist. If God is good, why do good people die? Is it not because God is good, he gave you mind to be able to have the guts to ask that question? No, now think about it now. Imagine God, just the moment you think about it, he quench you. Do you know what I'm saying? Imagine you just think about, I want to be atheist. You just go. Do you understand? If why do good things happen to people who are not good? It's the same way you have the liberty to ask your question. It's the same way God gave another person the liberty to use his hand and his weapon to destroy human lives. Who is that an example of? So the first murder in the Bible, it did not go far. Genesis 4. That should tell you how wicked this world is. The first murder in the Bible. Let me tell you, the first murder in the Bible was not nation against nation. It was blood brother to immediate blood brother. That's the wickedness that exists on this earth. What is the message from time? God is light. There is no darkness. Is Cain an example of darkness exhibition? Yes. So, the moment you agree that God involves himself in killing people, when the Bible says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is, it means we should also have the right to kill people when they offend us. You know, I was saying on Wednesday, now I'm looking at your faces and I can see it clearly. Abi? Yes, no, Wednesday, I don't know who's looking at me at the camera. So now I'm looking at all of you now. Yeah? I'll say something very sensitive on Wednesday. And I said it. I want to go and learn how to do taekwondo and judo out of self-defense. Go together. Someone will come. Just hey. Come with the power, we come with the word. If a man is killed out of self-defense, is it killing? I don't know. That's why I said I want to say it face to face. If a man is killed out of self-defense, when they carry the matter to court, what would they say? Man, what? What is another name for manslaughter? Man killed. Man killing. Are we together? Right? Is self-defense killing a killing? See, Christians, we have to be careful. Don't try to explain what you think makes sense and use God's word to support you. Some Christians actually believe that when you talk about when you kill somebody in self-defense, it's not killing. It's what would they say? Some people call it defense. It's what? Or it's not killing, it's quenching. Put together. You know, I give an example of a video of a couple having issues. And what happened? The man did not want to really do as much, right? And what happened? She fell down, hit her head on the staircase, and that was her life gone. What is that? That's killing. Are we together? Is that of God? No. Am I saying don't self-defend yourself? I'm not saying that too. Are we together? Amen? Because, let me not say what that is. Right? But I'm trying to say, let's call a spade a spade. Do you understand it? Let's just call a spade a spade. Did you self-defend yourself? Yes. Were you supposed to protect yourself? Yes. Fine, good. But is it still killing? I'm saying, when the Bible says thou shalt not kill, does that include that? Yes, so it does. It does. Let me ask you a question. You know that 90 plus percent of the apostles were killed. Do you see a record of the apostles ganging up with pocket knife to defend themselves when people come to attack them? Is it in the Bible? That Peter, right, gave an instruction to the church. O ye church of Judea, make your guns ready for the enemies that want to persecute the gospel. Anything you see, shoot on sight. Is that what is in your Bible? Do you know that if that was the instruction they gave, they would not die the way they died? Because once you are just walking like this, you just see one mirror, somebody is telling you. You enter another street, you enter another street, pow! Put your gun inside your pocket, then continue going like nothing happened. Continue evangelism. Ah, praise God. Then when somebody, you know, that the one person that is the chief killer, you and your boys just gang up and go to his house. Just go to his door. You knock. Somebody go to the back door. As soon as you are attending to the front, you push the back door. You shoot all of them. See, they're enemies of the cross. If that was the instruction God gave them to do, most of them should not have died the way they died. Peter was arrested. What happened? He went to the prison. Is that correct? What did the church do? They went to pray. Who was the only, from the writings of Matthew to Revelation, who is the only example of self-defense that we know? You saw it on Wednesday. Peter. Right? What happened? People came to arrest his master. What did he do? Imagine Peter had a knife inside his pocket, inside church. This, you know what it means to be following Jesus. You are not a protocol officer. You have knife in your pocket. Somebody just tried to mistakenly touch your master. You, yeah. If you had a lapita, you would cut that guy's neck off. Are you with me? Let me ask you a question. If Peter had cut that guy's head off, would Jesus have supported him? Why do you know? Because he didn't even cut the head. He cut the ear. Jesus was calm enough in the midst of chaos to go down to the ground. You know, when they cut somebody's ear, you know, have you seen War Gecko? what you people call war gecko. Eh? War gecko. And war gecko is that like that lizard. You know, if you try to kill, you know, war gecko, then you kill it, it will still be vibrating. If all of you are doing like, so you kill it before. Yeah? If you cut the tail can vibrate for another 15 minutes on its own. That is because of the nerves and the whatever you have inside. If you cut somebody's ear, that's the way to be doing it. And Jesus picked the ear and he put it back on the man's ear and he glued it back. That was ear cutting. Would Jesus have supported Peter killing that man? Altogether, let me ask another question. If Peter had killed that, you know, Peter just likes killing. Peter likes danger. He doesn't. That's why Jesus and his ministry shows that God will believe in men more than men will believe in men. Peter that they just gave an unction to function. We've not even gone more than Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5. He has already killed husband and wife. Husband and wife just came. They just lied to him. And before you know what happened, on the floor, he said, the leg of the men that buried the husband, they had the door waiting for you. What a way of spiritual growth. So Peter was someone that liked argument. So if Peter had killed that guy that came to arrest Jesus, one of you that came to arrest Jesus, what would Jesus do? Bring back to life. What you don't think about is, how will he merge the neck back together with the shoulder? It is that God wants to give life every opportunity. What is life? Bible says in John chapter 1, it says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Are we together? So what has God always wanted to give man? Life. Are you together? So look at verse 12 again. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were what? Right, we saw that on Wednesday. Now look at verse 16. Let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he what? He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hereby perceive we the love of God. He laid up. Please, sister, can you help us with this day, see? Because people feel like they are home. Thank you. Amen. 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 Hereby perceive you the love of God, because he what? Laid down his life. So let me ask you a question. When Jesus found himself in the midst of people who wanted to kill him, what did Jesus do? All together. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Are we in church?
Yes,
sir. Are we in church? When Jesus was in the midst of people who wanted to arrest him and kill him, what did Jesus do? I wonder everybody's saying it now. He surrendered himself. Are we together? He surrendered himself. Are you looking for parking tickets? Oh, don't worry, we'll get that afterwards. I'll put it on the screen. It's on the... they won't charge you, man. Don't worry. We'll put it on the screen yet, but I think there's supposed to be one there that you can look out later for. Yeah. So it's within, if you are within church time, you can do it anytime within. Yeah. What was I saying? What did Jesus do in the midst of people out there to kill him? What did Jesus expect us to do in the midst of people out to kill us? Some of us like to say we are Christian by association. Okay, you know, the last of evil. We cannot. Yeah, that's all those arguments. God needs us on this side of heaven. We need to be alive to be able to preach the gospel. I'm going to do a series next year, right? And you know what I want to do with that series? I want to show you how much blood has made the gospel get to you today. Amen. You know, some of us think that it's only the people that are apostles that were killed. There are books that talks about martyrs of people in their thousands, with each of their stories and their names. Are we together? Right? This is the gospel. You see, the gospel is a blood gospel. If men had given up the way some of you want to give up today, If men had given up, you won't hear the gospel. You know what it took men to get the gospel to you today? You know what it took men to get the gospel to your parents? Do you know what it cost? It cost blood. So when man, you know, I was telling you of my pastor friend who was saying, if people want to arise you and they want to kill you, you know, they put a knife on your neck and they say, choose Jesus or denounce Jesus or leave, denounce Jesus and leave. So what will I do? Don't ask me that kind of question. Don't ask me. And I said, you two, what will you do? He said, before they even say denounce, I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. Is that not what Peter did? Do you know the Peter who did that at that point eventually was still killed? When they wanted to kill him, how did they kill him? He said, I'm not worthy to die the same way my master died. Something changed about him. That's why you come to church, so that we can change something about you.
Yes, sir.
Are we together? He said, I'm not fit to die the way my master died. Right? Don't hang me on the cross. Turn me upside down. Are we together? Right, so now my friend said he's going to now just move on. Right, that everyone needs him on this side of the earth, and I'm like, you see, let me tell you a question. You see, there are some things as believers, even if that is what you will do, don't voice it out. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Don't voice it out. Don't voice it out. Let it be that you agree with yourself. You are still growing. I'm trying to say, even people who say they will not denounce Jesus, they might be faster to denounce Jesus than you. But let it be that it's the condition that pushed them to the wall. But imagine if your mind is already prepared that if I find myself in a place where they say denounce Jesus or move on, you deny Jesus. And what is his argument? That because believers are saved eternally. And I'm like, okay, very good argument. But the truth is that if that's your mindset, you cannot do the work of ministry the way the apostles did the work of ministry and those even after them that gave their life for the cause. There's a woman who had about 7 children. And they told her and said, denounce Jesus, right? Denounce Jesus or we'll kill your children, right? And all the children said, we're not, all the children started telling the mother, don't denounce Jesus, we're behind you. They took the last born, they killed the last born. The many 6 of them remained, we're not denouncing. They killed all the 7 children in front of her and killed her. True, we're not denouncing Jesus. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King. You see the message. You see, you are hearing the message now, 2025. I'm saying, imagine what they did for the cause of the gospel. Those are the messages that people hear, and it propels them to see how much devoted they can be to the love of God. Are we together? So the Bible says, not as Cain. Who is Cain? Cain is an example of the one who is in the WhatsApp group of the wicked one. All together. Yeah, who is in the WhatsApp group? So, back to the question: if you have a question around if a president asks people to go and destroy, that's why he's the president. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Right? I know somebody will still ask a question: what if the president is a believer? If you are the one that to president, go with president. What I'm trying to say to you is that you must understand there are two approaches to viewing life. There's the governance of God, and there's the governance of man. You vote man into power; man has every reason to defend you who voted him into power. We're together. Right, and you vote man, and when it comes, and that's why God did not want the children of Israel to have the kind of kings and presidents that other nations had. Are we together? Right, so if you look through scriptures properly, what should be your conclusion in every story you read? God is love. Let me tell you, as people read what I just said, they say that because the message is God is love, is that when God destroys the enemy of Israel, that is proof that he is love. Amen. Amen. Go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Verse 20. The soul that sinneth shall die. You know in Arabic? The soul that sinneth shall die. Before you get to that conclusion, just read Book of Ezekiel from chapter 1. But that's not my emphasis today. The soul that sinneth shall die. He says it shall die. He says, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon them, and the wickedness of the wicked shall what? Be upon. Is that the book of Ezekiel? Go to verse 21. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But if the wicked will turn from his sins and he had committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right. Are we reading together? He shall surely live and shall not die. Let's read the next verse together. 22, 1, 2, 3, go. All his transgressions that he had committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him in his righteousness that he had done, he shall live. Let's read verse 23. 1, 2, 3, go, please. Have I any pleasure at all in the wicked dying, says the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Are we together? Right? So what is Ezekiel chapter 18 saying? Right? Have I any pleasure at the wicked should die? So another translation will say, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Look at chapter 33. It's came Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, look at verse 18, or verse 11, sorry. Are you in Ezekiel 18? No, Ezekiel 33. Yeah? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the... I'm mumbling words. Let's read it together. Are we all there? If you're there, say I'm there. So let's read it together. Verse 11, Ezekiel 33. 1, 2, 3, go. Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? What book is the book of Ezekiel? Old Testament. What is the message of the Old Testament books? God is love. What did God say about the wicked? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What does God want to happen to the wicked? They should turn their ways. You know why they call it long suffering? Because God suffers for long. Are we together? Let me tell you a very painful truth. A man who has done all sorts of things on the earth, and he decides to reject the love of God, but chooses to accept the love of God on his deathbed before his last breath, he's as saved as you and I. Amen? He's as saved as you and I. What is God? So, think about it this way. God is a God. Let's assume he wakes up every morning. What does he want to see on the earth? Wicked. Come. Wicked. Come. Wicked, turn. Wicked, turn. Okay, hold on. In wicked turning, will some of his family members be affected? When wicked are turning, will some of God's family members be affected? What do you think God gave to his family members that should make them not be downcast? His spirit, which is what? Another kind of life. Are we together? That is why the most important life that God sees on this earth is the life of his spirit in man. So God always wants man to change from their wicked ways. Are we together? So we don't say a conclusion is, I'm trying to tell you, so it means that, can you also go to scriptures where the Bible will say the Lord God said, the Lord God gave an instruction that all those wicked men should die. Do you know it's possible for a man to want to allow wicked men to die and say, thus says the Lord? Have you not seen some pastors come out on the open air and they say, the Lord said to me that he gives the people in this camp 7 days to die. If they don't repent, they will all die. Okay? Sometimes, does it happen?
Yes.
It happens now. Sometimes it happens, right? Yeah? Does it happen every time? Okay. The fact that it happens sometimes, does it mean that God is backing it? No. Because you would as well conclude that God was backing the killing of Ananias and Sapphira. So did Pastor Peter use his words to condemn man such that they gave up their life and they died? Yes. Who eventually became Apostle Peter? The one to whom Jesus, when he was leaving the earth, right, handed over his entire work of ministry to. How together? What did God expect Peter to do with Ananias and the wife? To train them and be patient with them so that the wicked one will turn their ways. Let me tell you, I know it doesn't make sense. Are we together? That's why it is what? Faith. That's why you look through scriptures. That was the only record. You know, Paul was not matured. That when he realized that there were people who were going to contaminate the church, he gave a warning note in his letter and says, be careful of these people. If Paul's theology was that God kills people when they are not when they are persecuting the church, Paul should have just prayed, God kill Ananias and Aminos, Philetus, Alexander the coppersmith, and the likes. But what did Paul not do? Right? Paul will say, pray for us that we are delivered from evil. He will now say, mark and avoid those who cause division. Because God wants those who cause division to return from their wicked ways. Are you with me? Let's not be selfish with this love of God. Amen. Let's not be selfish with the love of God. Some pastors will stone me for what I'm saying now. They say I'm not empathetic. But the truth is, I just taught you scriptures. Are we together? It is what it is. Right? The moment you can agree that God's character involves destroying people who are wicked, you have no right to tell me I should not kill people when they upset me. So if my neighbor just upset me tomorrow, I just plan him. Because I'm being, Bible says in Matthew 6, it says, be ye therefore perfect as your heavenly Father. Matthew 5. Be ye therefore perfect as your heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. If the perfection of God includes the killing of wicked men, it means that by default, I should also be licensed to kill. Are we together? When you want to stay with the Bible, stay with it to the full. Praise God. When man kills another, is it painful? When man dies, is it painful? But you see something about the resurrection of Jesus. He has given us a life that makes us rejoice. So any man that is a Christian who is killed on the earth for the sake of the gospel, what devil did was just to pause their life in the physical world. But there's a life that outlives them. Are we together? Dear saint, that is the love of God. That I wish John had just said, Cain is an example of love. Are we together? You know, this series, we're planning to, you know, I said on Wednesday, there are two parts of the love of God. There's a love he gives us, and there's a love we give others. We use Navigating Your Bible throughout our week to teach about the love we give others. Now we're talking about the love he gave us. The reason why I'm saying it this way is so that you can know what God expects from you as love work. Are we together? Yeah? Love work would always end, would always win any day. So the Bible says, as long as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's why, look at 2 Peter 3. Second Peter. Second Peter chapter 3. Are you there? Look at verse 9. Let's read verse 9. 1, 2, 3, go. Are you your Bibles? Are you your Bibles? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, word, not willing that any should perish, but they should all come to repentance. Let me ask you a question. What would be one of the fundamental scriptures Peter is teaching from?
Repentance.
Ezekiel 33. What is Peter saying? The Lord is long-suffering, right? And it's not his wish. How did he say it? He says what? He says, and he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What does come to repentance mean? Let the wicked turn from their wicked ways. So what does God expect from every wicked person you know? The same way God expects you to turn around. Amen? When you want to start counting wicked people, first go to the mirror. Are we here? First go to the mirror and look at the mirror. Start with yourself as number one. It's God that saved you. Someone say, well, lie. It's God that saved you. Are we together? Let me tell you, you know now, there are sometimes people offend you. The things that cross your mind before you remember you're a Christian. You know now. The things that, don't be holier than thou. You know, the thing that will cross your mind, the thing that will just... That's why the Bible says God is long-suffering. Thank God man is not God. If God were to be some of us, some of other us will not exist. Abi? Some of other us will not exist. Because you offend me in church, I change it for you. I offend you in church, what do? You change it for me. Everybody change. Peter says, God is not willing that any should perish. I don't understand. How do we read our Bibles? I'm saying people who believe in people just falling down and die, when they get to this verse, what do? It's just like I got the scripture. Bethel became Sabbath, and Sabbath begat Kopot, and Kopot begat Sabbath, and Zobodot become. You know the scripture? You know all of you used to jump it. When you read 1 Samuel, you start from 1 Samuel 1. Before you know it, you're 1 Samuel 7. Why? Because you jump. Ruth, the mother of Boaz. Boaz, the mother of Naomi. Who was saying Boaz, the mother of Naomi in this church that day? And this brother. It's not Noah than Naomi, book of Naomi. Yeah? Yeah? So you say, let's just jump. That's how a lot of us read scriptures like this. No. So some of us are holier than God. How can God say that he doesn't derive pleasure? No. How can God say that he does not delight the pressure and the death of the wicked? How do you get to that? Which one is the other one? No, God, you must delight pressure. God, you must hate people that no. Like, why am I? I'm using this teaching to answer that question scripturally from that question that someone asked in that question and answer session, right? Scripturally, let's look at the Bible for what it is. Does God like that his people are being persecuted? No. But what is God's will for the people who are persecuting his people? That they repent. That they turn from their wicked ways. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Right? And what? Turn. You know, if Christians can live the Bible fully, this world will be a better place. Just Christians. But today, what do we have as Christians? Yeah? You just, every prayer meeting where they want to keep people, you join. They're laughing. Every prayer that they want to keep people, you join. And if you join the first prayer point and the person you want them to die did not die, you join the next YouTube channel. All together. Then you this one, maybe that one was 5, this one is 4:15. You join at 4:15. You pray. The person that is disturbing you did not die. For another one that says you should pray at 12. So 12 and 3 is the window in which you, some of you that just is, you will see what you are looking for. Yeah? If you can possess the gate of 12 to 3, that's the gate of the day. It's not by increasing your voice and bringing it down. What is gate of the day? A guy, if you want to pray at 12, pray at 12. All together. If you want to pray at 2, pray at 2. Don't think demons are flying at 2. That's when your prayer is like bullets. As soon as you are praying like this, you just realize one, just shoot one witch. The witch just fall down inside your room. If witch fall in your room, all of those that pray at 2 o'clock, what will... If there's that witch fall in your room, what will you do at 2 a.m.? Eh? So if you're always looking for all those different meeting grounds, yeah, anybody, I have a very wicked boss. What is God's will for your wicked boss? That he repents. And what does God expect you to do to your wicked boss? You heap coals of what? Coals of fire, Romans. Is that correct? Yes. But how do you heap coal of fire on people's head? You overcome evil with good. But pastor, they poison me, I survive it. That's why you want to go and buy poison. You want to go and buy poison. Hey, pastor, you don't understand all this thing because they're not poisoning you. Why should they poison me first before I understand what you are saying? I'm saying, regardless of what your experiences and my experiences, it cannot be above the word. Peter says, is God is so long, you know what they call long suffering? That's another word for what? Patience. So God is patient too. God is patient. God, think about yourself now. You know now. Let's stop forming holier than thou. We know. If not for God's mercy, I will not be here. Eh? Someone like me that like to watch action movie. If I want to watch movie now, if they've not killed somebody in the first 2 minutes, I used to change the movie. I'm being vulnerable with you. That is your pastor. What is shooting somebody in the first movie doing to me? Huh? Adrenaline. Okay. I just really want action. I don't like drama. It starts from dining table. Why are you starting moving from dining table? Everybody sit at dining table, you put coffee on. No. I like that to be, let them shoot and somebody dodge. I will sit down tight. I'm trying to say, imagine that what I'm feeding my mind with. And somebody does wicked to me. Sometimes you think of AK-47. Oh, it's only me. It's only me. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. That's why I'm the pastor. God has worked on our hearts. He's only me. Eh? I'm trying to say, imagine how terrible our minds can go when someone does something to us. God still expects that. God is patient. Eh? For God to use someone like me, I have to extend love to others. Yes, sir. It's small, I used to escape. Imagine my father did not leave Islam. Now, this place should have been black. Afa Yusuf. Afa Yusuf. You see the name? Afa Yusuf, who flows? Afa Yusuf. Yeah, I'm wearing my jalamia. This place will be black because I'm meeting you to hit the floor. It's God that saved me. Eh? God is merciful. So the main people in my father's house, God too should send his love and go and save them. You know, I might not be the one that will preach to them, but my prayer is that they turn from their ways. That's why I spend more time praying for people who are missionaries. Are we together? Yes, if you have money, send to people who are missionaries. Support them, encourage them. You will not go there. You drive to Edinburgh, where everywhere is bright. You can go out at 11 o'clock, everywhere is bright. You don't even preach. Somebody say they leave their family and went to the cave of whatever to go and preach the gospel. I say, who has them? Who sent them? God is loving. Hallelujah. And that's why he doesn't have to sit well with you. Are you here? He doesn't have to sit well with you. Preach whatever grammar you want to preach. God wants people who kill other people for their ways to change. I'm trying to make it clear for you, so I don't think I'm trying to walk behind the scene. Are we together? Right? You see, Jesus is God in the flesh. Is that correct? Who did Jesus kill? Let me ask you a question. Jesus went to a city and they rejected Jesus. That should tell the kind of people Jesus used to change this world. Jesus went to a city, they rejected Jesus. Before they said ABC, that one just shouted in Luke 9. Do you want us to call fire to destroy all of them like Elijah did? They even gave Bible reference. Pastors today give Bible reference to kill people. That in itself is wicked. I just said what the Bible says now. Because the disciples of Jesus, they quoted the Bible to Jesus. Jesus, do you remember that scripture? Elijah called down fire. God of Elijah, send down, hallelujah. God of Elijah, send down fire. God of Elijah, send down fire. Do you want us to call down fire to destroy these people and let their day be as though they never were? Hey. You'll be using grammar to talk wicked thing. What did Jesus say? Bible says Jesus turned at them and rebuked them. That word there, rebuke, is a word used for a strong correction. He said, know you not what the Son of Man has come to do? For I have not come to destroy men, but what? But to save lives. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember that Samaria eventually in Acts 8, Ah, you don't know your Bibles. You're waiting for me to complete it. What happened to the same Samaria that those disciples wanted to destroy? God still sent apostles there to go out. You know, it was Samaria that they came born again, and the elders sent people to go and get them filled with the Holy Spirit. Imagine Jesus answered that prayer of destruction in the book of Luke 9. Are you with me? Did those people reject God in Luke 9? What does God want for them that they turn from their wicked ways? How did that happen? Men continued in prayer, and God sent other men years after to that same camp. That is God. The Bible says, John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. When God kills, call him a thief. When God steals, call him a thief. Because it's Jesus that said it. The thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I have come to give you abundance of life. Not together. God's love is overwhelming. The same Samaritans, the same Samaria. Imagine, you know, Jesus, if Peter could have used his word to destroy a man and the wife, you know, Jesus could have used his word to destroy a city. Because Jesus could just look at Samaria and just say, people dishonor, you don't know who is here. All of you catch fire, and it will happen. It will happen. Now, is it God that supported God? No. Will it happen? Yes, so. What did he say? He says, I've not come to destroy men, but I've come to save them. And they went into another city. What did he say? When you give people the message today and they reject it, you change your direction to another city. And as we are going to another city, keep praying for that city. Guess what? When Jesus gave them the Great Commission, Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And shall be witnesses to me where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, and where? Samaria, the same place they rejected him. Let's leave theory. Forget YouTube channel. If you are wicked, you are wicked. Wickedness means calling death for another. Either it is part of self-defense or self-preservation. It is wickedness. Don't justify. Think about it. Imagine. Listen. It's not like somebody saying, when Peter denied Jesus, he wasn't lying. He was escaping prison. Is that not true? Peter denied Jesus how many times? 3 times. Do you know Jesus? No, Jesus. Is that the name of animal, place, or thing? Is the name of animal, place, or thing? Jesus, do you know Jesus? How many times? 3 times. Before one cock. 3 times. Imagine Peter left that place and said, I didn't deny you, Jesus. I didn't deny Jesus. I was trying to just live on the earth so I can do more work of ministry. Or self-defense. Or imagine, so some of us, we call things, the moment you wish for another to die, it's wicked. Let me tell you, no matter who the other is, no matter who the other is, it's wicked. It's of the wicked one. There is nothing Abel did to Cain that was justifiable for him to kill Abel. Are you with me? Hope you are learning, you know. Let's look at a few scriptures while we close today. Look at Micah 7. Look at Micah chapter 7. Look at verse 18. Are you there? Let's read together Micah 7, 18. Let me allow you open up. Micah. Open table of content. Open table of content, my sister. Open table of content. It's all part of growth. Are you all there now? Yeah? Micah chapter what? 7, verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go, let's read. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, but he delight in what? So, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. What does he delight in? Mercy. So, God delight in what? In mercy. Look at verse 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go. He will turn again He will have compassion upon us, and he will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. What does God do when God interacts with the wickedness of man? He wants to pardon and wants that man to change. So God is the sinner-loving God. Is that correct, Romans 5? While you were enemies, God loved you. While you were a sinner, God loved you. While you were without strength, God loved you. Romans 5. So God loves the sinner, but hates the what? Sin. Does God love the wicked man? Yes. More than you? That is a problem again. Yeah? What is the difference between your love and the love of one who is not born again? You've accepted it. You don't come into God's family and he says, I've increased my love for you. No. That's why the Bible says in John 3, for God so loved the world. The world includes everyone. That he gave his only begotten son for who? The world. So the Son of God was given for the remission of sins for man. That whosoever what? Believes. Who is that? That whosoever, who does he exempt? Nobody. Whosoever believeth in him shall not what? Perish. But have, so are there those that will not believe? What will happen to them? They will perish. Why? Because in their belief, in their unbelief, has what you call a self-destructive element. Are you with me? Man has what you call a self-destructive element that is in existence in the unbelief of man. So when man rejects, so what is to tackle that self-destructive element in man? Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So when life comes into man, man lives forever. What to quench that self-destruction in man so that man will not perish? Believing and having life. When man rejects life, what happens to the man? The man is going to perish. So will men perish? Yes. No. Why am I saying this way? There's another school of thought that goes to another extreme. Yeah? You call them universalists. Right? Universalists, they believe that God will just wake up one day and change his mind and just say everybody is saved. Yeah? Right? You know, you have different schools. You have the Calvinist, you have the Universalist, you have the cessationist, those that believe that, you know, speaking in tongues are seized is not for us, it's for the apostles and the likes. But there are those that also believe that no need to preach the message of the gospel. God is so loving that one day we'll just wake up and say everybody is saved. If I believe that, why am I even going for evangelism? It's just a waste of time now. Because Universalists believe that. Also, they also believe that there are those who God, that God has predestinated some to be saved, such that there are those who God predestined that they will never be saved. Even if you preach to them, they will never be saved. That is a nonsense doctrine. Are we together? How will God give us that assignment to go and looking for those who are predestinated? If it's that, when I go for Jesus, I don't need to stop everybody now. I'll just assume in my mind, you have been predestined to be destroyed. No need to preach to you. Are we together? So God is the one who delights in mercy. Are we together? He says what? He says he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. Right? He will have compassion upon us. Look at Lamentation. Lamentation chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 21. Are you there? This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not what? Consumed. Because his what? His compassion fails not. Verse 23. They are what? They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. So the compassion of God, it does not what? It fails not. They are what? The Bible says they are new every morning. You know what that means? The new every morning does not mean that God used to refuel his tank every morning. Right? So for instance, today, God's compassion is full. The man will push God to the wall. His battery will now run down. The new morning now starts. God will now top it up and charge it. No. His compassion and new every morning simply means that to man, every morning is an opportunity to remind yourself of the compassion of God. So the newness is not with God, it's in the mind of man. So when you wake up today, you remind yourself, the compassions of God does not fail. You sleep, you wake up tomorrow, the compassion of God does not fail. You sleep, you wake up tomorrow, the compassion of God does not fail. So God is always compassionate, and that must be reminded to our minds every single day. Hallelujah. That must be reminded to our minds every single day. Now, close here. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was out of his compassion that he gave his son to humanity. Man needs to just accept of that, and that's what you call true love. That's why we sing this song. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, he chases me down. Hold on. Some of us like that love to only chase us. The love of God, he chases man. Such that when man rejects of the love, is man just using the same free will that God gave him out of love? Oh, he chases me. You are crying. But you won't go to destroy another person who offended you last week. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Who deserved it? And still you gave yourself away. That's the compassion of God. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Mm-hmm. No. Shadow you light up. Mountains you climb up. Running after me. Why is it only you? Running after us. Some of you look at where God finally caught you. No light you won't, no wall you won't kick down. And you'll be crying. You are at the back of the wall, you were prisoned in the bondage of devil. There are many others who are prisoned in the bondage of devil. And God wants to go there and kick down the wall to get to them. Wickedness to God is not in kidders. Wickedness to God is wickedness. Lying is as wicked, is as terrible as killing. And it's as terrible as pride. But you see something, when it comes to man, if they carry you to court for lying, what they will punish you with is not what they punish you for killing. That's why man is not God. There was a song we used to sing when we were growing up. You are God, you are not a man. You know the song? You are God, you are God, you are God, you are not a man. I even missed the language inside. Here is a pidgin song we sing. You be God, you no be man. No, that is, you see that song? Let it be your favorite song. Anytime something confuses you about God's character, just remember, he's God, he's not a man, no. He's God, he's not a man, no. Alpha Omega, he's God. He's God, oh. He's God, he's not a man, no. The ways of man and the ways of God are as far as the east is from the west. As far as the south is from the north. It means you cannot comprehend it. It is magnificent. It is magnificent. God is the one that kicks down all the walls just to get to another. So, dear saints, you have a list of people who are wicked. What do you do to them every day? Pray for them. What are you praying for? That their hearts are turned. For those who they are oppressing with their wickedness, what do you pray for? Father, we receive supernatural deliverance. Lord, deliver your own. Deliver your people who are in the bondage of the devil. They are delivered supernaturally by God's power. Bow your heads and just pray in the Holy Ghost. And let's pray that our fellow Christians and believers who are in strange parts of the world, that they experience supernatural deliverance. They experience supernatural beings, angels, all around, getting them into safety in the name of Jesus.